Lord. Christmas is the second most celebrated holiday of the year. Amen. It is second, when I believe that it should be first, but of course New Year's Day is celebrated by those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, those who are not a part of the family of faith. So therefore, it pushes Christmas down to the number two position. Christ is, amen, the birth of Jesus Christ is and should be celebrated, amen, by all humanity, because it is God's greatest gift to the world. Out of all the things we have received since we've been in this world, and all the things we'll even receive on today, we have never received a gift greater than Jesus Christ. We have never received anything that can compare, and certainly not surpass, what he brought to us when he came in to this world. Jesus is a child of prophecy. He's a child that was anointed by God. He is the Holy One. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And when you go to Philippians and it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord is the name that God gave him that is above every name. Because Lord means that you're in charge. Lord means that you're the boss. Lord means that you have control of everything. See, there are a lot of Jesuses. Mostly Jesuses. Zeus ain't here today, but you know, in that other culture, they use the name. Of course, they call him Jesus as well. But the name God gave him is that of being Lord, and he is Lord of everything. And here, what we see and we celebrate today is the culmination of all of the scriptures we talked about a few weeks ago related to prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And I just want to make a declaration this morning that everything God said related to the entrance of Christ into this world happened just how he said it. It happened just when he said it. And it happened just where he said it. So everything God said related to the coming of Jesus Christ was according to his divine plan that was formulated before the foundations of the world. We were not an afterthought or a second thought as it relates to God saving us and making us a part of his family. God had already planned before man ever failed to redeem us to himself. And he purposed to do it because God knew he was going to love a man. Each and every one of us that are here today, and I could start calling names, but it would just take up too much time. Because let me say, God loves everybody in here. Amen. And then those that are not here, God loves them as well. So let me touch on four brief points from John 3:16, and we're going to be ready to extend the invitation and go home and spend time with family today. Amen. First of all, let me say that God's love is wonderful love. And the A part of the 16th verse says, "For God so love the world. And God's love is wonderful because of its outreach. God's love is wonderful because of its capacity to reach down into the lowest depths of degradation and bring men and women back into right relationship with his Father. It extends to every nation, to every city, to every town, to every country. The love of God reaches that far that men and women might be saved. It reaches into every home, every culture, amen, every church, and hopefully every school. The love of God moves without being inhibited wherever God designed and purposes that it goes. The love of God is wonderful because of what it does. See, God's love delivers us from our sins. God's love heals broken hearts. God's love mends the hurts that we have because of disappointments and other things that come to pass in our life. It lifts up the fallen. It restores, amen, the brokenhearted. And even broken homes are restored because of the love of God. Amen. And that word, so, it emphasizes that God so loved the world. And so emphasizes the greatness of God's love for humanity. It emphasizes the greatness, the intensity of how much God loves you and I. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him." Our faith is strengthened, amen, because of the fact that God's love is wonderful. And his wonderful love initiates our salvation. It begins because God loves us. John expresses in utter amazement God's love for you and me. He says, "What manner of love is this?" In other words, what kind of love of this? Where did this love come from, amen, that God has bestowed on you and I? Can I answer the question this morning? It is agape love. It is godly love. It is love that is love without condition, amen? He loves us in spite of our wrong. He loves us in spite of our sin. He loves us in spite of all that is negative about our person. God loves you and me. You know why? Because God is love. Amen. And this love is so dynamic, if you will. It is so great. It is so immense that Romans 8:17 says that we are not only heirs, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right. And you know what an heir gets? An heir gets whatever the other heirs get. Amen. So therefore, whatever Christ gets as an heir of God's kingdom, guess who else gets it? You and me. And it's because of the love that God has for us as his children. Amen. See, God's love is wonderful. And then in his son, he gave us a wonderful gift. It says that God gave his only begotten son. And the gift is a wonderful gift because he is wonderful. He is the wonderful counselor, according to the word of God. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God's only begotten Son. and he is wonderful. Amen. He's wonderful because of what he did. He came into this world and he took on human flesh, and then he died for our sins. Kings couldn't do it. Presidents couldn't do it. Angels couldn't do it. No one, no human being could do what Christ did for us. So he is wonderful because he died to buy our salvation. Amen. It took his blood in order to atone for the sins of mankind. He's wonderful, you all, because of what he has done for us. Amen. Can the old songwriter said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He, and not only is he wonderful because of what he did, he's wonderful because of what he does. See, he forgives our sins. He cleanses us and he gives us peace with God. So he's wonderful because of what he does. Is he, and the fact of the matter is that he loves all mankind. He loves men and women everywhere. So it doesn't matter where you are, God still loves you. 1 John 4:9, it says, and this is the love of God manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the unique Son of God, died for our sins. And he did it so we could have eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful gift he is. Because everything that we need is summed up in who he is. Let me see. God doesn't give us everything we ask for. Many times God gives us who has what we ask for. Oh, y'all missed that. See, when they was crying for salvation, God didn't just give them salvation, but he gave us, let me put it like that, a Savior who has everything that we need. And therefore, Jesus Christ is wonderful. And because he's wonderful, he gave us a faith that is wonderful. For it says, for whoever believes in him should not perish. Faith is wonderful because it is the means by which we receive the wonderful gift that God gave to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And see, faith is a gift from God. You didn't get it off your grandma's knee. It didn't just happen to fall in your mind, but God blessed you with saving faith that you might come to him through relationship with his Son, Jesus. Amen. And see, faith allows us to do what others believe is impossible. Faith makes everything possible. We are to live by faith. We are to walk by faith. This life is a life of faith. Amen? And the Bible goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, while we in 1 John, let's go to 5 and verse 13. It says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And what John is saying here, everything that I've said to you thus far in this letter is so that you can have the assurance of salvation. I want you to know for certain that you have been saved. Amen. He wrote it that we as believers might have confidence, amen, that we possess eternal life. And eternal life is summed up by saying it is a relationship with Jesus Christ, with us possessing the nature of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Salvation is a relationship with Jesus Christ, which produces, amen, the nature of Christ down on the inside of us. So when you see that, if you're going to be saved, you've got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except what? By me." And it's one of those things that you must have faith. See, faith is powerful. Jesus said that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you have mountain moving faith. He said you can speak to the mountain and the mountain will what? Be moved out of your way. And I believe that there are some folk who've been dealing with some mountains this year, amen, and you just need to speak to them by faith in the name of Jesus, and tell them to get on out of your way. Because he's given us this wonderful faith, he's blessed us with a wonderful life. And he says that, but have everlasting life. And see, everlasting life is wonderful because it is given to us by God. God gives us this wonderful life that you and I enjoy. It is by his divine power. See, and God is the only one who can produce and perfect life. Let me help y'all with that. The scripture says that after God had created everything and he had rested, it says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That ought to be enough to make you shout right there, because God is the only one who can produce and perfect life. But so you can really get your mind wrapped around it. God took a rib from Adam and he fashioned Eve, amen. And Eve was what? A living soul. And see, brother, y'all ought to be real excited about that, because especially those of you who are married. Because, see, God gave us our rib back. You got your rib back, Freddie. Amen. You may be not, you're a little short here, but you got one sitting, you know, right there close. Amen. So, see, we need to be excited about the fact that God does provide everything that we need. See, it's a wonderful life because we accept Jesus Christ by faith. God's wonderful gift to you and to I. And with that, when we receive him, eternal life is the blessing. It is the benefit of having relationship with him. Amen. And the thing that's so nice about it is that it starts at the moment of salvation. Oh, see, some people believe that eternal life don't start till you die. Eternal life begins when you receive Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you believe in me, you what? You shall never die. These old bodies may pass away, but me, you, the real you, you're going to live on forever. And you're going to live on in the presence of God. Amen. These old bodies, they may be burned, and they may cast them into the ocean. Amen. They may be buried, and the skin worms may eat them up. They may decay, but one day, God, Jesus Christ, is going to come back again, and these old bodies are going to be resurrected, and they're going to be transformed, amen. But it's because of the love of God that God is going to take these old mortal bodies and make them immortal. What a gift God has given us. Hallelujah. This old body aches sometimes. Things just don't always work like it used to. But when God changes this into what Christ is, oh my God. What a gift to look forward to. But then that's not all, because we have a wonderful life that is everything. And Paul in Romans 8 gives a list. It is not a theory, it's not something that he supposed, but from his life experience, Paul gives us a list of things or experiences and people that can never separate us from the love of God. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor, if death can't separate us from the love of God, nor life can separate us from the love of God. Angels fallen cannot separate us from the love of God, nor principalities, nor powers, amen, nor things present or things to come can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You know what? You can't go high enough. When John Glenn took off in that first, amen, it couldn't separate him from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus. You can't go deep enough to escape the power of God's love, nor anything that is created, anything that shall come, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you to understand, it's not our love for God that keeps us, but it's his love for us. Amen. It's his love, because according to what Paul said, his love makes us more than conquerors. It makes us over conquerors, if you will. It allows us to do that which the world does not understand. They can't even comprehend what God is allowing us to do as we live here for him. Christ's mission was bound up in God's supreme love for humanity. And Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn sinners, but I came that sinners might be saved through me. Amen. And then not only did he do that, but he said, I am him. No greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. So you see, God gave us a wonderful gift. He gave us the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. Because after he did all the good things that he did to be a blessing to people, he went to Mount Calvary, died out there for your sins and for mine. Oh, what a wonderful gift that God allowed his son, amen, to be nailed to an old rugged cross. And then to be counted, be numbered among the transgressors. And though he was the propitiation to bring man back into fellowship with God, he died out there for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. Because on the third day morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty, and he's making intercession for you and me. And that's good news, but I got some more news. He's coming back again. Yeah, he's going to come back one of these days when men and women don't expect it. He's going to show, he's going to part the clouds, and the angels are going to come with him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. When he comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we're going to be changed, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus is the greatest gift that we ever received. Let me say it one more time. Somebody don't believe that this morning. Jesus is the greatest gift that God ever gave you and me. See, I'm glad about it this morning because the scripture says in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And see, I'm glad that my life is hidden in Christ's life. Because now that I am a child of God, now that I am an heir of God, now that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I got a bright future. I don't care how dark it has been. I don't care how dark it might become. My future is bright. Because Christ came into this world to save a sinner like me. And I thank God for his wonderful gift, my Lord Jesus Christ. I thank him for him. I can't speak for y'all, but see, if I was you this morning, I'd just stand on my feet and say, Lord, thank you for Jesus. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thank him because he is God's wonderful gift to you and I. Amen. He's given us a wonderful life and a bright future that we'll spend eternity in glory with him. So you understand why we should be celebrating Christmas. Praise God for his goodness to his people. And believe me, he has waiting for us that which eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts and minds of men. What God has prepared for those who love him. When I peep into Revelation, it says that the streets are paved with gold. What a wonderful gift. It says that the gates, there are 12 of them, and each one of those gates is a pearl. It says that there are 12 foundations. And each one of them is made of that which is precious. Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank him for his great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who puts their faith in him will never but they'll have everlasting life. God bless you. God keep you, as I pray. I want to extend the privilege of the church if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We want to invite you to come to establish that life-changing, eternal relationship that will allow you to know where you'll spend eternity.